सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So we're discussing then the levels of prema. So then prema itself, then those in shantaras, then that would remain. When that intensifies, then it will turn into servitorship. You know, but it still has that element of awe and reverence.
Then
when that goes, as that increases again.
Okay.
Oh no, excuse me. When the affection for the Supreme Lord is fortified with unflinching faith and trust, it is called pranay.
Oh no, that's correct.
Yeah, means that the prema is there, that'll work in shantaras and it'll work in servitorship. When that then increases, when that again then is increased, so that's fortified with unflinching faith and trust, then it becomes pranay. So then the shakyaras can appear. But in the presence of awe and reverential worship, pranay will not appear. So that means that awe and reverence that may be there in the servitorship, if that's the strong element, then it will not, shakyaras will not develop. Then as that increases again, then we get man, which is then loving resentment. So there's an attachment. That attachment is very great. So that means the faith, the trust is very strong. So when that develops more, again, then it'll be the element that if things aren't going the way you want to see Krishna pleased, then one will get upset. Right? But it's all about Krishna's pleasure. And in this material world, all these different levels are there, but it's all about ourself. These same levels of, you know, to some degree, are there. An abundance of love that melts the heart to emotional liquid is known as sneha. Sneha is symptomized by profuse unchecked tears. And in this stage, the devotee's yearning to see Krishna never admits satiety. In vatsalya rasa or parental love, this yearning is felt as the devotee's constant anxiety for Krishna's well-being. Right, so then you see at this point, then it naturally, then the element of parental rasa comes. These
can
be there. It doesn't mean that people have that much affection for anybody.
Yeah. So anything less than prema, we need to just, even if some mercy comes, we need to turn it around and just be, have humility, and just, in order to stop pride and sahajivism to come in, just to take it and on the mood of servant, his mood of servant, in order...
What is coming?
If some mercy comes.
Oh, mercy, yes,
if
yes.
Mercy comes, because even though someone told me once that we never reject Krishna's mercy.
No, but where would the question come of rejecting the mercy?
Not rejecting, this was just how it was interpreted a long time ago to me.
Okay.
Because, you know, say if you get some sweetness or some reciprocation, in order to... to catch it so that it remains humble, so you can keep on a progressive path and you can't deviate, so nothing starts going tangent off in one direction or another. So where we are, we just need to keep a mood of, even when, so it's like there's an in order to appreciate the mercy, but still appreciate in the mood of servant.
You mean you're worried that if you get mercy, then you think I'm very special, so I'm a big guy, and so all that.
Yeah, so it's
therefore
like
I become proud.
Check on, like, you know, so anything less until we're.
No, but even here, it's not the. It's still the same thing. The devotees are very humble. What's being here is the only one that seems straight. Everything else seems like a natural. Is this man? Mischievous, crooked mood of unusual flavor. Notice man. So that is. That is a where one may be upset with the Lord, but that's based on that he's not getting how much pleasure you feel he could get in that situation. You understand? That's different. That's one out of ten here.
Yeah.
But that's it adds a particular flavor. It's coming at this lower stage. It may be used, though, but generally by higher devotees who are tasting something higher than this. But all these stages are relished within prema. You know, because sometimes there'll be trust, faith and trust, you know, like that. Sometimes it'll be the mon, like that. It's that mamata, the affection is there. So these different elements, the abundance of love, the sneha, then will come. So all these different things are there. It's just a matter of what's being tasted at what point. So what's going on here in this world, then, is we are basically, attachment is there, so this, what we would call affection, is increasing, but it's still all about ourselves, basically. So the person means this, Krishna does something wonderful, so we are more attached to him. But the point is we're becoming more and more humble, because he is more and more special. But here in the material world, more attached, but because we take it as ours, therefore, there's not necessarily humility, there's a pride. There might be, but there might not be. But it's still, whatever it is, it's about us, it's ours. But it's not that Krishna is ours, it's a matter of that the child is ours, husband is ours, you know, my position is mine. And so, that anger that may come up, which is, it will look the same, but it'll be about yourself, not about the other person. But it works on the same formulas. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the elements of this can be used within the material range of affection, but it's not what this is. You know, it's like iron and gold, as Prabhupada mentions. It doesn't have any comparison, you know? Like that. It may look the same, but it's not the same. You know? Does that make sense? You know, like you have a, what do you call it? You know, one of these, I don't know what they make them out of, but you know, porcelain or something like that, and they paint them very nicely, pieces of fruit or something, you know, as decoration, and then a real piece of fruit. They look similar. You know, like that, there's the attractiveness that's there, but as far as actual application, they don't have any connection. Does that make sense? Because one's lust, the other's love. So that lust may be more selfless, but it's still about ourselves. The mother, it may be so, it means, Prabhupada mentions, the mother's affection for the child is as close as you get in the material world, but it's still, it's because it's her child. Right? It's not that the child is so special, that's why she's attached. It's her child, but she's willing to be so selfless towards her child, so that's special. You know what I'm saying? But it's still her child. Right? So Mother Jashoda, Krishna is so wonderful. They even doubt whether their kid. You know? I mean, here in the material world, they have jokes whether it was their right. What is it, bassinet or whatever it is, that they didn't mix up the babies, you know, when the kid's being too weird or different or something, then, you know, it's like, you know, are you sure this is our kid, you know, like that. But there it's like, he's so wonderful and special that they doubt he could be their kid. You know, they think he's a demigod or something else, and you know, does that make sense? So it's different. There it's that their affection for him as a person is, you understand? So it looks the same, because it's working in the same kind of method. You know, the parent and the child and taking care in the same kind of ways. Mother Jashoda feeds the child, mothers here feed the child. The mother Jashoda clothes them, they clothe them here. They do all these different, so it looks the same. It's basic. It's the same relationship, just there it's in its pure state because it's appreciating Krishna, you know, in the, Krishna's qualities so greatly, but through that particular form, you know, that rasa. That makes it special. While here, there's the element of that selfishness. It's still, we're the center, we're the enjoyer. While there, they're not the enjoyer, they're ashray. Here, we're trying to be vishay. That's why it's perverted. You know what I'm saying? Because Krishna's the vishay, everybody else is the ashray. But we're trying to be the vishay and play the same part. You know, so that's why it's actually, there's something, means, wrong with it. It doesn't give the soul satisfaction because it's not the actual position of the soul. Does that make sense? Like that. So this is there to understand what's there and understand the progression and understand that affection that the devotees have for Krishna. Right? But this we're talking. This is beyond prema. Right? And already prema we're putting is very lofty. You know what I'm saying? So all we're doing is showing is that is coming is that when those crookedness, other things, then when it comes to the abundance of love is so great, it melts the heart, there's constantly, you know, that crying and worrying about, so it comes out as, you know, worry and anxiety in the parental rasa. Right? It might come out in other rasas, in other ways, you know, like that. Sneha infected by intense craving is called raga. In the stage of raga, a moment's separation from the beloved is unbearable. While in union, the opposite is true. Even extreme grief feels like exhilaration. In raga, the object of worship, Krishna, is made to appreciate his own ever-youthful form by the attentions of the devotee. Thus, raga itself becomes ever new and ageless and is transformed into anuraga. So here, even extreme grief feels like exhilaration. That's why this element of just, if everything's going good, nothing will be going bad, isn't really an important, measure of devotional service. Right? My devotional service is going nice because it's religion. And so religion means from dharma comes artha. Right, and then facility karma will come everything. So therefore, if by performance of religious duties, then I'm not getting nice material facility, things are going wrong materially. Right, then there must be something wrong with this religion. You understand? That's why that's not a good method to use, because then we get an idea that religion means nothing goes wrong, right? But we see here is that this much higher level of raga, then there is the element that things can go wrong. You know, it can go, you know, I'm saying in Vrindavan things may go wrong, but they're still going wrong in such a way as to increase the devotee's affection for Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay, and now in raga, the object of worship, Krishna is made to appreciate his own ever-youthful form by the attentions of the devotees. So, in other words, in raga, then there's so much interaction that may be on the physical platform, right? Because of his beauty and his wonderfulness. So, because Krishna is ever fresh, therefore, then the taste itself becomes ever fresh. Does that make sense? Because Krishna is always changing, is always developing. Like that, it's always something new. Because Radha and Krishna will meet, but if there's some time then they're not together, when they meet again, even if it's later in the same day, it's as if they've never seen each other before. Because so much new and fresh has developed that it's like they've never seen each other. Does that make sense? Yes.
Does it happen also, these ever-presence to the living entities there?
Does, say?
This ever-presence, does it also happen to the...
No, it's there, but it's nobody cares about ever-freshness except in connection to Krishna. It means Krishna is ever-fresh, so everything connected to him is ever-fresh. But the focus is always on Krishna is ever-fresh. You understand? And here is what we're trying to do is you're expanding the field of devotional understanding, right? Because if that field is very strong, you understand where you're trying to get yourself to, then it also can strengthen who you are, you know, and your relationship with, like that. We have understandings of terminologies in a particular context, and that is good, that's correct. Then when we apply these in so many ways, the context may change. So then different aspects may come out and be more prominent or less prominent. Right? So seemingly the definitions change, but they don't. They're just explaining a different aspect in a different situation. Right? Does that make sense? So we generally always hear this ever-fresh in connection with Krishna. So that's what's important. The devotees always, because they're connected to Krishna, are also ever fresh. But their ever freshness comes from the contact with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Just like the light bulb is always working because of its connection with the generator. Right? If it's not connected to the generator, it there's no light. Does that make sense?
Is it so also that those unique qualities of the soul, they are only manifested then in connection to Krishna here in the material world?
Depending upon their position, their karma, then to some degree any of them may be manifest. To some, but when they're manifest, how they're manifest, that keeps changing from situation to situation or body to body. So one body, some may be manifest, another body, and some others are manifest according to karma. The perfection of the living entity is in connection with Krishna. That's the thing that has to be understood. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a rule, it's a fact. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's not, okay, well if this happens, then this happens. No. It's just a matter if one is in contact with Krishna, everything's nice. So this is just more ways of understanding the niceness in connection with Krishna. Is that okay? Okay, this raga itself becomes ever new and ageless and is transformed into anuraga. In anuraga, the lover and beloved enrapture one another into obedience. There is even a longing to be born as animals or other lower species that enjoy a direct connection with Krishna. This is called prema vaichitra, the variations of love. In the anuraga stage, separation from Krishna blesses the devotee with excessive ecstasies. Okay, so that, in other words, the ecstasy is so great that each one becomes more submissive to the other. Does that make sense? Due to how wonderful the other person is, due to this. Right, and then in this, then there may be the element like here, being born as animals or other lower species, because like the gopis, then they have to stand there, you know, with the elder gopis as Krishna goes off into the forest with the cows. You know, the cows get to go with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The trees get to sit with Krishna. Does that make sense? That kind of stuff. Like that. I mean, You see, sometimes they would use these in old poetics, you know, like in Shakespeare and something, you know. Does that make sense? They don't use this stuff anymore, really. Does that make sense? You need an example, or it makes sense? Examples means like, the point is the girl puts her hand on her cheek, and then the boy says, oh, if I were only a glove on that hand, then I could touch your cheek. You understand? That's the kind of thing. But here it's working at a very small level. You know what I'm saying? There's an appreciation, there's these things. But the problem is then as time goes, the possession actually starts, in one sense, if one doesn't know what one's doing, it starts to actually constrict everything. It's not fresh anymore. You know what I'm saying? It seems fresh in the beginning, and then that goes away. Because if they're not, it's not connected to Krishna, who's ever fresh. So unless the relationship is connected to Krishna through the Shastra, it won't maintain a freshness. It's connected through Shastra, it maintains a freshness. But still, even though it maintains a freshness, that freshness is still limited in the material sphere. Right? Because the manifestations of Krishna in this world is very minimal. Like he says, it's only a spark of my splendor. So therefore, a spark compared to, you know, the fullness of Krishna, they don't compare. You know, a spark and then the sun, it just doesn't match. But it's still coming from the sun, that's what gives it something. So you're dealing with nothing, then a spark is something special. Does that make sense? So a spark is as good as it gets here. So that's why it's very important that one is always performing the devotional activities, the direct devotional activities, because then one can compare. Right? It means by performing the direct activities of hearing, chanting, associating, those things, then that increases. And by proper performance of the prescribed duties, according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra, you know, for Krishna's pleasure, then it will also go forward and you get the best you can from that. But because it's being done for Krishna, then that's the common element. Then you can compare them. Otherwise, you're doing this for Krishna, this for myself. How do you compare them? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to compare about. You know, I can compare things if there's something in common. Like, you know, let us say I have some mashed potatoes and I have Led Zeppelin. So, what's the comparison? Maybe you both turn your brain into mush or something. The mush element is common, or you know, how do you check it? How do you see? You can't. There has to be something in common: mashed potatoes and, you know, mashed pumpkin or something. You know, so then you can make some comparison. Does that make sense? So, until Krishna is involved in the material, then you won't be able to compare it and then see that the direct is much better than the indirect. Otherwise, you'll just get frustrated with the material. Hopefully, you'll take up Krishna and stick there. But if somehow another material desire arises again, then out the door. You know what I'm saying? Because it hasn't been proven that there's no comparison. You know, it's nice. It means material life without Krishna is not so good. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, but it's not very steady. Then when it's done in line with Krishna consciousness, then there's a steadiness to it. So even though it may be what we material call, you know, have its ups and downs, it still has a consistency in the taste that it gives. But that taste compared to the taste of direct devotional activities doesn't compare. You know what I'm saying? Then it's actually left because you can give up a lower taste for a higher taste. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because you can go, it's just this material is disgusting, it's spiritual, this is nice. And if you can make that connection, that's the best, that's the easiest. You don't have to go through so many technicalities. But if not, then you have to take what is distracting the attention, connect that to Krishna. That being connected to Krishna, it'll work as good as it gets. And then you'll start to see, it doesn't match, it doesn't compare. The direct Krishna consciousness is way better than anything indirect. Does that make sense? You know, so it's as good as it gets in the material world, but in the material world, as good as it gets isn't really that great compared to the spiritual world. right? Compared to the material world, it may be great. That's why the demons follow Vedic culture, because the material life applied through Vedic culture is much greater and much better than material life without Vedic culture. Right? But because they're demons, they don't compare it to Krishna, therefore they don't see there's something even higher. Right? Well, the devotees do the same thing, but they see that that devotional service is higher, therefore they give up material life for the higher taste of spiritual life. Does that make sense? Okay, when Anurag is overflooded by the magnificent ocean of ecstatic love, and the devotee completely loses himself in transcendental madness, Mahabhava is attained. In this stage, even the dropping of an eyelid that blocks the devotee's view of the Lord for less than a second is intolerable. In the ecstasy of separation, a mere moment is stretched to timeless eternity. In Mahabhava, both union and separation, all the symptoms of Satvika and Santri Bhavas manifest to the fullest degree. Lord Chaitanya pours an ocean of meaning from the picture of this shloka. For a full elaboration on the different gradations of loving ecstasy that are hinted at here, one should consult Srila Jiva Goswami, Swami's Priti Sandarbha. The word yugyayitam is a simple and direct expression of timelessness. The phrase Govinda Virahena conveys deep feelings of separation, Vipralamba. Fully Krishna-conscious Rasik devotees have subdivided Vipralamba into Purvarag, preliminary attraction, Man, seeming anger, and Pravasa, separation by distance. Means Purvarag, means the preliminary attraction, when one first develops that attraction where one feels that feeling of separation. Like that. Then, how do you say? Then Man is seeming anger, is that what we discussed before? Was that when one is that loving, he gives here loving resentment, if that's the proper word. Just means they're upset with Krishna about something. So that means there's a separation created emotionally. One may be next to the person, but one is upset with them. So there's a separation. Separation means you can't interact. So here you're creating a situation of not being able to react. And then the third is separation by distance. So that's automatic that it's not there. Okay. In this shloka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals that the sadhaka dwelling within this world need only relish the Purvarag stage of Vipralamba ecstasy. Right? Because, okay, within this world. So the emphasis we see that the acharyas and they put in the books, if it's being expressed, then it's always on Purvarag. This first attraction, this and that, because that's what can be done. Because man, one doesn't use unless one is situated in the pastime, right? And of that qualification, right? So we don't generally use it. You know, Radharani uses it, you know, then because she's using it, then the others will use it. But no one will use it on their own. It means at least we won't, right? Radharani's happy with Krishna. We're not going to manifest man. Right, she's upset with Krishna, then to support that, we may manifest that if that's appropriate. Or it may be that we're making the arrangements to get Krishna to behave in such a way that breaks Radharani's mind. Does that make sense? So, but it's not used separately. You know? And separation by distance, you know, that's going on anyway. But the point is that is only if you've been together, then it means something. If you haven't been together, then that separation develops, feeling of separation. That's Purvarag. Does that make sense? Because the other one is you've been together, there's been sambhog, that's been tasted on this platform of ecstasy, then it's lost. You know, so we're sitting here, you know, in the cow dung pile here, and so we haven't come to that platform. Does that make sense? So for us, then what they're saying is Purvarag. So others that do these other things, then that's Sahajiyas do that kind of jazz. Does that make sense? This may or may not have much meaning to us, but there are people that try to show all these kind of things, and it has nothing to do with reality. Fortunately, we don't bump into them much. right? We were listening to them for the last so many days. It sounds like it. Either electricity went off or their program's over. I'm not sure which of the two, you know, we've been blessed with. Yes.
When we fell. Yeah, from our.
You want to know if it was head first or, you know, sideways, or if you're when you pulled the ripcord, the chute didn't work, or.
I was just wondering, because that love for God, I guess, was in.
What were you wearing at the time, or something? Were you wearing Armani when you fell, or you know, was it, you know, were you in your dungarees, or?
Our pure love for Krishna was in a laden condition, but what actually, we weren't, I guess, were we on the platform of any kind of prema, or?
No, you'll never fall from prema. Bhava is the stage that's a bud, but you can either move forward into prema or drop out of it back into material consciousness. Because of the element of neutrality. So it's the neutrality that then will make it so it doesn't move forward. It means the relationship is cultivated, it moves forward. It is not cultivated, it moves backwards. So if you're in that position but not actively cultivating a relationship with Krishna, then it will move out of that. Right? And since one needs a taste, well, naturally then the taste will become from the material side. Right? Because the whole idea is, what makes Vrindavan wonderful? The place itself or Krishna? Yeah. So Krishna makes it wonderful. And so it's his potency that's pervading everything, but it's all that is in connection with him. So if you're not appreciating Krishna, means you're appreciating the manifestation of the spiritual world that is manifest to glorify or enhance, you know, Krishna's pastimes. You know what I'm saying? The same principle is going on here. You understand? Just there it's in its full-blown manifestation. Here we're dealing with a spark. Right? So, therefore, we're only looking at the manifestation of how Yogamaya has manifest the place. And we're taking that as very nice, which it is. But still, Krishna's not the main element or drive in it. So then, naturally, if Krishna's not the main thing, and you're trying to be happy within the spiritual environment, that means you're becoming the enjoyer. And so then in the form of Yogamaya, she's not going to allow that. So then she transforms into Mahamaya. And so in your mind, it's just the same thing. So you don't even notice the change, you know, from spiritual matter to dead matter. Because the principle is you're trying to enjoy the form of it as opposed to the one for whom that form is meant to please. Does that make sense? So material consciousness means that all we're looking at is form. And it's only by training then one starts to appreciate what's behind that form. Right? There may be a little bit of appreciation, you know, but it's limited, but we still think it's the form. You know, the simple, you know, aboriginal is impressed by some aspect of nature, you know, some great thing, some, you know, powerful thing, some manifestation, or like in Australia, that Ayers rock, you know, a big rock out in the middle of nowhere, you know, or whatever may be the thing. So it is an appreciation of Krishna, but they don't know that it's Krishna. They just know it as a rock or lightning or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, whatever the forefathers, everybody becomes a, you know, a crocodile or a, so, you know, there's tribes that they figure all the forefathers become that, you know, so probably they do, you know, all become monkeys or something like that. So maybe Lucy was from one of those tribes, right? All the forefathers became monkeys, right? So like that. So, does that make sense? And then as man becomes sophisticated, he may not be so overwhelmed by nature in that way. You know, it's not as pantheistic, but still there's the element of, you know, something impresses him, you know, a big building or a nice park or going out to a resort and seeing the view there, or going to the ocean or, you know, some sport or something like that. It's still the same thing, but they don't know it's that experience, that potency behind it is Krishna, that they only see the external. You understand? So it's the same principle. It's a matter of, do you see what's the life behind it? In other words, Braj is wonderful because of Braja Krishna. Vaikuntha is wonderful because of Vaikunthapati. Right? Dwarka is wonderful because of Dwarkadish. Right? So if you only see Dwarka, only see Vaikuntha, only see Braj, then it's the same mentality as here. So naturally, you don't belong there, you belong here. So that's why there's this whole thing is, so it is falling from the position, but for you, it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? The consciousness is the same. It's just that conscious being implying on superior nature or on inferior. You know what I'm saying? You're just absorbed in doing your duties and interacting and whatever relationships are obvious. So then you come to the material world where it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Those gopis that didn't go to the Rasa dance, why didn't they go to the Rasa dance? Krishna played the flute, why didn't they go? They were too absorbed in, you know, all the family duties and the kids and, you know, doing all the things that they do. And so, therefore, that Purva Rag wasn't obtained, so they couldn't go. That attachment hadn't come to that point to create that mood. You know, they may be interested, because they're devotees, they're interested, therefore it wasn't enough to get them there. Right? Then, in that feelings of separation, when they couldn't go, that burned up all their pious and impious activities. And so, therefore, then they could go the next time. So this is people, devotees who have practiced Krishna consciousness, come to the platform of bhava, therefore they know Krishna is, I mean, the whole reason they got to bhava was focusing on Krishna, but their focus wasn't great enough. You know what I'm saying? But then they got there by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. Right? But those who are there just inherently, so they're not there because they've tried to get from conditioned state to the transcendental state, you know, to serve Krishna. Therefore, they're in the same environment and taking involved in the same activities and the same mentality of distracted by all the family and everything nice going on. So then, why be there? Right? So, in other words, material means, as we remember, material means we don't see the cause behind, I mean, it's what's behind it, the cause of all causes. You know, we're just seeing the form of it. We're not seeing why that form is there. Does that make sense? So technically, that's material consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's why then Yogamaya will transform to Mahamaya. It's the same person. Does that make sense? The Surup Shakti can manifest as Yogamaya or as Mahamaya. And so then, you know, just if that doesn't work that life, the next life, then you end up here. So you come as Brahma, because you don't know what's going on here. You know, so you've come from the spiritual platform, so you're very elevated. So you start off as Brahma. As Brahma, you technically could figure out this is stupid. And then realize that there's some difference between the two, and take up Krishna consciousness, and go, at the end of life, go back to Godhead. Right, but we can see by the number of living entities here, then quite a few didn't do that. Right. Does that make sense? Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I was just wondering, is it true to say that all Jews start off on bhava?
You could say that's the tatastha position. Bhava is in between prema and conditioned life. So it's in between the actual spiritual platform, because prema is the real spiritual platform, right? And then there's material platform, conditional life. So bhava's in between. It's not prema, but it's not conditioned life. So you can see them both. So you turn towards the prema, then you go that way. You don't turn towards the prema, then it means you'll go towards the other. Right? If you forget Krishna, you're not remembering him. So if you remember Krishna, you'll go into prema. If you're not remembering Krishna, then that means you forget him. You know what I'm saying? Just by default. If the ball's not going up, it is going down. It doesn't just remain in the between. Right? So you're either developing that attraction for Krishna, or if you're not, you're coming towards the material. Because tatastha means it's overlaid in the same place at the same time. Right? So material means seeing the form without what's the potency of that form. You know what I'm saying? So that's how they can be at the same place at the same time. Because that's the whole difference. There, here, people are worried about the form. There, no one's worried about the form. They're worried about Krishna, service to Krishna. The form is nice, but that doesn't distract them from the service to Krishna. The heavenly planets is very nice, but they're more distracted from service to Krishna. Right? Because, you know what I'm saying? So that's why then that mentality then is dropped down to people here. So if they're more pious means you're following Shastra, so you're technically moving towards Krishna. But you may or may not know that. So therefore, if you know it, then you go back to Godhead. If you don't know it, then you go to the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? That's how devotees can, in the neophyte stage, end up on the heavenly planets. Because the devotees, but they're distracted by what's going on in the material world and the nice things of the world and wanting that as opposed to Krishna. Does that make sense? And so then they'll go to the heavenly planets, then come back. Does that make sense?
Is that why if we see the purpose behind all forms, then that's how we become Krishna conscious?
That is technically how you become Krishna conscious. The easiest is direct. That's using the indirect method to see Krishna in everything. You know what I'm saying? Direct means you're always just absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And then everything around you is udipan to make you think of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Or, step down from that, you see, Paramatma's in everybody's heart and everything like that, and so therefore, then you deal nicely with all living entities. Right? And if you're going to deal nicely with all living entities, you'll probably deal nicely with all the dead matter also. You know what I'm saying? It would be natural. Anyone who can see Krishna in everyone's heart is going to deal properly with all the dead matter. So you don't have to separately. So it's not important, that element. But if that's not there, then the next thing is that the potency that's there in the dead matter, whether it's inanimate or inanimate, because we're just seeing as opportunities for us to control and enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So that potency behind that, that feeling of control, that feeling of enjoyment, the particular manifestation of it, is the externals for the internal, which is actually Krishna. But we don't see that. We just think the externals is what's generating. In other words, the child is generating my affection for them. No, it's Krishna's potency of childness that's generating your affection for them. It comes through the form of the body. But we think it's the body that's generating it. So that's how you, by the Brahman understanding, you cut that mentality. You understand? So, therefore, you're using the technicalities of the Brahman level or of Paramatma or of Bhagavan. So, what's recommended is the Bhagavan. You can't do that. Then you engage in all the activities that everything is connected to Krishna, as the Pancharatra. If not, then use the Vedic, but Naishkarmi. Right? Then, if not, then Sakam. Is that okay? Okay. The scriptures declare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals that the sadhaka dwelling within this world need only relish the purva rag stage of vipralamba ecstasy. So pleasantly said, meaning if one is on that platform, that's all one would deal with. You know what I'm saying? You know, he says he need only do that. Others is not necessary. Means don't do that. You know. The scriptures declare that the mood of separation engenders 10 conditions in the sadhaka's person. They are pondering, sleeplessness, perturbation, emaciation, pallor, incoherent speech, a stricken condition, madness, delusion, and death, or unconsciousness. Yes, what is unconsciousness? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 20, 40, 41. In my agitation, a day never ends, for every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. Commentary by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. O Govinda, the entire world is but a void in your absence. Oh, 1 second. Are there any questions? Because otherwise I always get, after the class, I had a question, but I didn't see any hands. Yes.
Maharaj, I was just wondering, continuing that question, that Swarup Shakti, that living entity becomes enchanted to that. So you see, like Srimati Radha, maybe become like enchanted then.
Enchanted?
Or, I mean, like that become attracted to Srimati Radha, or then when we like distract from Krishna. Because
oh, it means if you're not attracted to Krishna, then you're attracted to his energy.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be Srimati Radharani. It's just, the point is it's Krishna's energy. The Sarup Shakti is all energy, so we're attracted by some aspect of it. So then that distraction, if it's not brought to Krishna, then will bring one to Maya. Because then one's not actually seeing what's wonderful about the thing. You know what I'm saying? So people are doing their duties thinking about Krishna. That's the natural stage. But if they're just doing their duties and thinking these duties are so nice, it means they're actually an illusion, because they're nice because of their connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? Therefore, one comes here. Does that make sense? Anything else?
I was just thinking, it seems all our problems come from not really accepting that everything belongs to, you know, Krishna, and that everything is perfect. When we understand that everything's meant for his pleasure, it's when we have all this kind of
yes,
I and mine. And
yeah, that's the whole thing. It's just the perspective of the living entity. That's the difference between, that's why Krishna says surrender in the moment. One would think, oh, how can you do that? There's so much sadhana, so much. No, that's only because of that degree of ability to surrender. But all it is changing from that Krishna is the center of everything. You know, from we're the center to Krishna is the center. So just accepting that, one can be in a moment Krishna conscious. Right. The Upanishad is starting the understanding of something beyond the material. And so it's starting off with, you know, Krishna is complete and he is the Lord of everything. Right. So he is the Lord of everything, right? And he is complete. So that means all aspects are within him. Right? But at the same time, is he still separate as his own person? Right, so starting from there, that everything that you're dealing with is connected to Krishna, but we just don't see it. And he is the Lord of everything that we deal with, but we don't see that. So we think we're the controller, we're the enjoyer. Right, because enjoyment, you're looking for completeness. Right, and controller, you're looking for absolute control. So Krishna is already the
in control of everything. And he's complete, that means he's the actual, the supreme enjoyer. Does that make sense? So then he performs his pastimes. So that if we have this understanding, we perform devotional service. And then we're part of those pastimes. Right. So you've already established he's the controller, he's the enjoyer. The Ishavasya principle, he is the controller. And the Om Purnam, he is the enjoyer. Right? So the I and mind, you know, the supreme I and the supreme mind, and we don't somehow or another feature in here, even though, you know, Screen Actors Guild may have so many rules on, you know, even the guy, you know, that cleans the toilet has to be put on the credits, but somehow or another we're not listed there, so. That's the whole point. We didn't make it. Hiranyakashipu thought he made it. He thought he had arrived, but unfortunately, the Lord arrived. Like that. Is that okay? I don't know if that translates very well, but or makes any sense. Now it's class is over. So it looks like we'll finish this on Monday. Because now he gets into the Gauranga Nagari, so now it'll be obvious that explaining this, why it's explained, one is just showing what Lord Chaitanya is discussing, but how to free oneself from all these, foolishness that everybody is dealing with. Oh, still another, I didn't notice there's Shloka 8. Oh no, so we still have a little while to go. Oh, I thought we were on Shloka 8. Wait a minute. What happened at the beginning here? Oh, how did 6 get here? There's a good chance we didn't study this. It's in the wrong place.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki. Actually, we got quite a bit to go. So I thought we only had one page left. Okay, now this is page 6. 2, 3, 4, 5. 7. Okay. And this was in. This was at Shloka 1. Pure love is never selfish. Yeah, I don't think we've studied that. Holy name reveals the soul's being.